Fishbowl. Well, as you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the latter half, what I want to do, Lord willing, the preaching plan is here. Finish chapter 10 today. Do two messages on thanks and thanksgiving. Two thematic messages, one before and after Thanksgiving. Obviously, after that, we're into the Christmas season, Christmas messages. And then we'll finish up some messages in January in Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. Finish up that before we get a new one. And obviously something on pro-life there and sanctity of human life month there in January. It's kind of give you a little bit of our preaching schedule. But locate chapter 10. We'll pick up in verse 12. There's no PowerPoint today, but follow along. You've got outlines, quite detailed. Follow along in your outline, if you would please, today. Be wise with your words. Ecclesiastes 10, 12 to 20. And we see here, foolish people, foolish words, and results. Foolish talkers, point number one. Point two, foolish leaders. Let us pray together. Our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, just as the worship team sung today and the messages and your love, your grace, your mercy, the salvation we have in you, and we praise you for that. We want to lift up all praise to you, Lord. Heavenly Father, you gave the Son to thank you and worship you and honor you. And the Son, Jesus, you came willing to go through all that suffering and pain and bearing our sin in Calvary's cross and rising from the grave the third day. We see our salvation in you and you alone. And yes, you reign, Jesus. This whole world's so chaotic and mixed up and sinful and evil and out of control. But we know you are in the throne. You have a plan for the age. It gives us great comfort. And we trust in you and your promises in the Word. Minister to the saints today through the service and the Word. Speak to us, Lord, as we talk about this matter of words and our thinking and our speech. Lord, may it be Christ-like. You're always there. Whether we're on our phone or we're on Facebook, any social media, or talking to someone in person, that you're there, you hear it. That, Lord, may it be Christ honoring our speech, our words. Yes, we're to speak the truth boldly, be children of light, but not that which is coarse and that which is evil or wicked or we see unholy or ungodly speech. So, Lord, speak to us about that. We're believers. We're your children. We're to be different. We're to be becoming more like Jesus Christ. So speak through an ancient book, Lord, the ancient book of Ecclesiastes. It's so timely to write where we live right now. Use your word. Use this message. I truly pray to challenge, to meet needs. And we pray, just we prayed last week, if any here know not Christ, may they come to you today. May they be convicted of their need of salvation in Jesus Christ. And to make sure Jesus is their Savior, that they've trusted in you and received forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We truly pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Words, be wise with your words. Let's talk about words today. They say the average person speaks 7,000 words. Lying in the room, I think you know someone that speaks more, don't you? There's someone in your family. The average person speaks 7,000 words. We see in the Bible there's 789,650 words, in case you're wondering. That study was based on the King James Version. 789,650 words in the Bible. Lots of words. Even though we're not using PowerPoint today, we see what words conjecture of what? A visual image. A visual image. What do you think of when you hear the word Thanksgiving? It's just a word, just one word, Thanksgiving. Some people, what their minds turn to family coming, what you're going to serve, your food, what you're going to do. See the relatives, where you're going to do it. The CDC says have it outside. That's going to be fun for people in Maine and Denver, where they may be getting snow, in North Dakota. Have it outside, limit it to 10 people in your house or whatever. You're in New York. Thanksgiving, what do you think of? Becky Pershing put on Facebook recently here, and some of you saw it, is a picture of the United States map. In each state, she had listed what their second dish would be beyond turkey. Did you see that, some of you? And she had the dish. Some states, her number one dish beyond turkey was filling. And others, it was like baked corn and green beans and mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. And and the biscuits. Wow. And at our house, we'll have pumpkin pie and pecan pie, or if you want to call it pecan, you can call it. And we'll have all that. You know, when I was looking at that picture of where it's from Becky Purdy, I got hungry. What am I doing? I'm looking at a map. It's a map with different colors. It had words on it. That's all it had. I'm getting hungry. Words of power. What do you think of? You think of these words. What about hunting season? Hunting season. What comes to your mind? Puppies. You like puppies? What do you think of these words? What comes to your mind? Probably different stuff. Politicians. Kittens. Little kittens. Little tiny kittens. A colonoscopy. A root canal. All I'm saying is words, and you're shown facial expressions and things and what have you. Sleep. Do you want some sleep this afternoon? Take a nap, maybe? Taxes. You know what you say, taxes. Worship. Stress. Prayer. COVID-19. Wearing masks 24/7. Shopping. Men may have a different facial expression, huh? Wow. Christmas. A lot of things is coming fast. You know, it seems like 2020 was like 10 years. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem to be coming fast. Let's get on. We don't want 2021 to be a repeat, but Lord knows, huh? Christmas, what do you think of? Here again, the presents, the tree, the family, the food, and all this. I hope you think of Jesus. Think of Jesus Christ and his birth. What comes to your mind when we say these words? In Song of Solomon, Proverbs especially, but also Ecclesiastes, Solomon has much to say about the speech of fools. Before we dive into that, let me read you. You don't need to turn there. Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. Ephesians 4, 29 in New Testament. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary of edification. That means building up, lifting up, encouraging one another. Speak what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, 29. So important. Our words, our speech, is it Christ-like? Is it Spirit-filled? Follow along, as I said. You see, point number one, foolish talkers. And we see the sub-point under this is A. They are destructive words. Look at verse 12, if you're in Ecclesiastes 10. Verse 12. Many different versions you have. I'm reading from the New King James. I'll use some of the New Living Translation and others. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. So we want to be the positive. We want to be a wise person, don't we? We want to speak good words, words that are gracious, that are uplifting. But many people in our world today, in TV and social media and everything, in personal conversations, we see it's not that. But it's the lips of the fools or foolish people. It will what swallow him up. It's pleasant to listen to wise words, but the speech of fools will bring them to ruin. Proverbs 10:32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is what is perverse. Perverse. A man who is truly wise will allow God and the Holy Spirit to guide, we see, his speech in his tongue. Even Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Jesus Christ, what? Since Christ is made unto wisdom, we are Christ's followers, we're to be like that. They said of Jesus in John 7:46, never a man spoke like Jesus, like him. So wisdom rather than babble and foolishness. And James, the book of James, certainly talks about this very much as well. Words can be destructive words. They're compared to weapons in Proverbs 25:18. James compares words to like a fire. It can be like a poisonous beast in James 7:3. We see 7 and 8. Some may hurt others with lies and slander and angry words and hurting many others. It says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. If you want that verse, it's Proverbs 3:13. So a lot in the Bible on the Old New Testament about speech and words. We're talking about wise words. We're talking about foolish talkers in this section and foolish leaders as well. So the tongue and our speech, it can be for good things. to bless people, encourage them, to give them the gospel. But it can also be the negative as well. It can be our worst enemy. Then we look at point B. Look at verse 13. Point B, the subpoint. They are unreasonable words. Unreasonable words. Look at your Bible. Don't take what I say for granted. Look at the word. Always study. Look at verse 13. For the words of his mouth, of the foolish talker, what? It begins with foolishness. And the end of his talk is what? Raving madness. Even verse 14, a fool multiplies words. No man knows what is to be the future. Who can tell him what will be after him? Only God knows that. So we see our point today, beloved. It's unreasonable words in verse 13. We don't want to be involved. The words of his mouth begin to speak what? Foolishness. Foolishness. And this craziness and all this stuff we see going on. We heard a lot of it. COVID-19. In the year 2020 and what have you, all this stuff going on. And what's going on? You know, I pray that Dr. Fossey comes to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. I really do, but I don't want to see his face anymore. Like, I don't want to see his face. I have an attitude problem. I don't care if I ever see his face on TV or social media or on emails or anywhere in computer again the rest of my life. I don't want to see his face, but pray for him to be saved. How about it? And then we see what we're talking about, what unreasonable words here. The doctor that Joe Biden appointed for his corona task force, the doctor that he invited to be part of his coronavirus task force that Joe Biden appointed said what? Life isn't worth living beyond 75. And they'll say, oh, the fact checker, he didn't really say that. Yes, he did. Look at speeches and quotes. He did say it. I don't know about you, but here's what I feel like in 2020, people come up with fact checkers. I'm going to act like a 3 or 4 year old child. If someone comes up, well, the fact checker said this, so I'm going to go like this, and I'm going to go, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I'm not going to listen to you. The way the fact checker said, no, he said this. Life's not living. We're living over 75, and quotes as such. Like someone said to me, the 8 o'clock service, the people for abortion and killing them in the womb, they want to kill them at the other end. We've seen euthanasia and everything else. Interesting thing about that, life isn't worth living over 75. Joe Biden will turn 78 next birthday. Did you know Bernie Sanders is 79? Did you know Nancy Pelosi's 80? She must wear a lot of makeup. She's 80. Did you know that? Your pastor frequently calls one of our oldest members Wilson Daugherty. He turned 100 on September 12th. The COVID doctor says not worth living beyond 75. He lived another 25 years. He has sound mind. He has a cell phone. I call him. He puts it on speakerphone so he can hear me. We see he has a special lamp, his family bought him a special lamp. It like magnifies what he can read in special lighting. He reads the Port Royal Times every week it's mailed to him. He reads his Bible. He watches Christian programming. He's not in a nursing home. He's in assisted living. Reed and I've been here. He walks down a long hall and gets an elevator, go another floor to eat his lunch and supper. In his last doctor's appointment, the doctor said, how many falls have you had, Mr. Daugherty, in the last year? And he said, zero. He's 102 months beyond. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Then people come off these. It's like it says in our Bible. Look what your Bible says. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness. We've heard a lot of foolishness in 2020 and COVID-19. Just a lot. More is coming, I think, in 2021. Foolishness. His daughters live around New York. He said, you get to see your daughters. He said, yeah, well, they call. Well, we're kind of in a shutdown here. He said they can't visit. He says, we residents can go outside and walk on the sidewalk a little bit. That's going to be fun in January and February in Pennsylvania, isn't it? And he said, yeah, I sneak out sometimes. I go to the gazebo, he said, and I can talk to one of my daughters. But if another resident reports me or staff catches me, I get 3 days. I have to be shut in my room. I can't go to the cafeteria. They bring me meals. We're talking about foolishness. My first thought that came to my mind was like Nazi Gestapo. The Gestapo, didn't you? I'm like, Nazi Germany Gestapo, like if someone reports, he says, yeah, they've done it. If you're talking, you don't want to talk to your family, you know, you have a mask, you're outside the gazebo. It's like, okay, you're in 3 days quarantine, not 10 or 14. You got to stay to your room or bring your meals to you. It's like, hello. So certainly what we see is our Bible says unreasonable words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish premises, and the conclusions will be wicked madness. That's exactly what it says in the New Living Translation. We think about the arrogance of Adolf Hitler, and we see the speech maker he was. Incredible idiot, that goes together, but a genius in one way and another, we see an idiot. Combined Adolf Hitler, think what he was doing and proclaiming the doctrine of the Aryan supremacy, whipping up the public to cry, well, hell, Hitler, he's a personification of self-conceit and swagger. We're talking about speech and words today. Hitler had in the palm of his hands and would get everybody all fired up. Charismatic figure. But you know what? He insisted on the final say in military matters. He's not good there. He was not good. He made a series of unbelievable blunders. All is in part that probably enabled, we see the Allied forces, us the Allied forces even more, to defeat him and overtake his country. So here was good at giving speeches, politician riling people up. Not good over here, and he won the final say. Not good. Like it says in the verse, a lot of foolish words, and it just leads. We see what the foolish decisions and a destruction at the end. In the educational profession, they have a term for non-stop talking students. Students who talk excessively are one of the biggest disciplinary challenges to school teachers, we see, apart from the COVID-19 situation that matters now. They have seminars to manage these children who are incessant talkers. We see an undisciplined talker. They have a term. It's capital H-A-R-M, an undisciplined talker in school. H-A-R-M stands for a hit-and-run mouth. That's what it stands for, H-A-R-M, a hit-and-run mouth. Of ones, a student feels compelled to tell you just what they think about everything. They're there to want to be heard about everything. They don't care about the facts or anything. They just want to say it and get, we see, what attention. Harm, hit and run mouths. Well, the Bible, we think of these things we're looking at today. Solomon, we see, wrote Ecclesiastes about 931 B.C. We're talking about things, this is so relevant, 3,000 years ago almost. And what we're sharing with today about foolish talkers and foolish leaders, it just reads like the front page of our newspaper we see here, November 15, 2020. And then it goes on, verse 14, uncontrolled words. You following the outline? Point C, the sub there. Read it with me, verse 14. He said, the foolish multiplies words, and no man knows what to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools just wearies them. For they do not even know what. They don't even know how to go to the city. Foolish people, they just continue to talk. Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, it says, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one, Matthew 5:37. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you, for every idle word that you may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Words there, uncontrollable words, a lot of words, full of words without realizing what? They are saying what? Nothing. I go back to Baptist Bible College, and Jenna and Caleb, when it was called Clark Summit University, is Baptist Bible, when Reed and I went there back then, and they had a lot of rules. Some of the rules probably changed. You couldn't single date as a freshman. You had a double date. So I was a sophomore, me and a guy in the dorm there. His name was Paul from Ohio. He's a soccer player. A lot of guys in our dorm were wrestlers or soccer players. Baptist Bible didn't have football. And we arranged this double date with a couple of freshman girls. And you know my interest in sports, of course, is getting later in the fall season. And there's two high school teams in the Scranton area not far from us. They're both 9-0. They're like undefeated, these two powerhouse high school football teams. So I said, that's great. The girls really love this date, right? And if we're going to go to the football game, we'll go out to eat after and everything like that. So I get in the car. We get in the car, the four of us. And the girl I really didn't know that well, she's from New York. And then she proceeds. I had a gear shift in the middle of my car. And she puts like a stuffed animal with her. And she's sitting in the middle by the gear shift. And then she starts talking. She's incessantly talking and not stopping. Now, I didn't talk as much. I know you don't believe it. I didn't talk as much then as I do now. But there's people can out-talk me. And she was just talking and talking. We're driving towards Scranton. I'm looking forward to this big game, you know. And about halfway there, she says, hey, you know what? I forgot to sign out the register at my dorm. We need to go back or I'm going to get in trouble. I said, we can't. You know, we can't. We're halfway here down the highway. She said, we need to go back. I said, we can stop at a restaurant or somewhere, a gas station. They didn't have cell phones back then. See how convenient they are? And so anyhow, Paul's in the back, my friend. You ever have a friend like that? He's loving the whole evening. He's laughing it up. At my expense. He knows this date is going south quick. And I'm at a point now, like, so let's be honest. I'm trying to stay in the spirit, but my whole temper's welling, and I'm trying not to have that take over. So I finally turn around and go back, and she signs out. We get to the game, the stadium's packed. You're not going to get a seat then. And you're by the sidelines. People say, hi, I'm trying to watch the game. You're like this. You're trying to look over people to see the game. So I'm not having a good evening. We went to get refreshed, and Paul goes, hey, how's your date going? And I'm like, She just talked and talked and talked. She never stopped talking. He's back there laughing at me in the back seat. So we get back. I determine I'm not going to date her again. I'm not going to date this again. I had a pounding headache. So she's stalking me a little bit in the cafeteria. And some of the guys in the dorm come and go, hey, you got a tower. You got a tower. You're going to date her. I go, what am I going to do? Am I going to tell her she talked? I mean, you're going to go, hey, you're a lovely girl and everything, but I can't date you because you talk too much. I can't date you anyway. I bring myself to do that. I can't do that. So anyhow, I moved on. I dated another girl. There's a girl that was in the snack shop. A very, very nice, godly girl. And I took her on a date, and she didn't talk. She didn't talk at all. So like everything was like yes, no, good, New York. Just everything was like. They're like, what am I, you ever get in a situation? I'm like very awkward. The other one talked all the time. I have a pounding headache. I'm like. Stop! And the other one didn't talk at all. And you're trying and you're eating your meal. And wow, this is so weird and awkward. So again, I survived that and I come back. And he said, well, she thinks you might not like her, not ask her out. You're not going to ask her out again. No. Well, what do you want me to tell her? I'm going to say, you don't talk enough? I'm going to go, okay, I really like you, but you don't talk enough. I'm not going to date you. This is strange. So then I find Rita. She's like a happy medium. All this. I find Rita. I'm gonna date you because you talk the right amount of time, you know. I can't have a headache and I can't feel so awkward. I started answering my own questions. Well, if I were to answer that, I'd say something like this. I said, the one girl, I don't know. What do you do? So we look at this and we think, well, words are very important. And talk. The Bible talks a lot about it in the Old and New Testament. It's a very, very important thing. He's a lot to say about this. Look at verse 14 and following in 15. He talks about boastful words, braggarts, and all that. We see what they do. We see who can tell them what will be after. The fool wearies him, for they do not even know. They don't even know. They think they know everything, but they don't know everything. Now, you don't understand this, but here's what I have to explain in Bible times. In Bible times, they well mark the cities. Not everywhere they're going to small towns and villages, but the cities. So there's an ancient proverb, and it was this, the fools can't even find their way to their own city. It's very common back then. That's what they were saying here. Look at your Bibles. For they do not even know how to go to the city, verse 15. It'd be like you and I, the common expression. That person doesn't even have enough sense to get out of the rain. Just like today we say that. They said that. That's what it means here. You got to understand the poetry of the time. So they don't even get that. They don't even have enough sense to get out of the rain. They're foolish talkers. They multiply words. They weary people. This is a real problem and issue. And if that's not enough, look at verse 16. He goes on to our second point, which is foolish leaders. 12 to 15, foolish talkers and foolish leaders. 16 to 20, look what the word says. Woe to you, land, When your king is a child, your dictator, your king, your leader is a child, and your prince is what? Feast in the morning. Destruction is certain for the land whose king is a child, whose leader is what? They want to party on, dude, in the morning. We're not talking at night or Friday night or Saturday week. We're talking in the morning at taxpayer expense. Solomon described these foolish leaders, referred to the officers as such, very poor leadership. He gives four characteristics of foolish men. It's right on your sheet. Turn to page 2. It's right on the other side. Indulgence is the first one, verses 16 and 17. Foolish leaders, indulgence. Kings that are like immature and irresponsible children. Leaders' morals and character affect what? Their ruling. It's teaching here in the Bible in this section. Countries, nations suffer greatly when they have people in power that are not qualified. Rulers focus on gratification. To what? To the ruin of the people and the government. It's great blessings when they restrain themselves. But those who what? Can control the private areas of their life, it's different for the public good. But those that can't, we see there's going to be an issue. Indulgence. Look at verses 16 and 17, what he's saying here. If the king is immature, the people what? We'll see he gathers around them other immature leaders and officers. But if it's a true nobleman, he'll surround himself with noble officers. Real leaders use their authority, what? To help and build the nation. To help them with their authority. Others don't. Look at that phrase again in your Bible in verse 16. And your princes feast in the morning. They're like irresponsible children. The first thought in the morning is what? Self-indulgence. It's about me rather than government. I'm going to party. It's not about the business needs of the government, concerns or needs of the people. It's about them and their partying. It's talking about leaders and selfishness and parties, and they're about the pleasures. Remember Xerxes in the Bible, Xerxes of Persia? He's also mentioned by another name in Esther chapter 1:15. He hosts an extended feast lasting for many days, partying on all of his nobles and princes. All was well, or so he thought. Then they went forth with their ships, their armies to invade and conquer Greece. How'd that turn out? Not very good. They got defeated at two places. Why? Because Xerxes, we see what? He's involved in partying, just like it says here in the Bible. So he's warning people that day. On the other hand, we see the United States of America, their founding fathers, and we see what their sacrifices they made. Our founding fathers, the sacrifices for their own nation. They may not have been what Europe would call the noble families or a monarchy of kings and queens like the Europeans, but they were nobles, we see, in their own right. Rather than just about being partying, they suffered incredible hardships in bringing our nation what? Freedom, and the land is so blessed as a result. But we see the end there. We see it's not good. For those what? Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed to you, O land, when what? When your princes feast at the proper time, what? For nourishment, for strength. Look, and it says not for drunkenness, right in verse 17. But our nation alone, the nation of Oregon, legalized what? Hard drugs. It seems to be going more the direction of what? Feasting and partying on. It's not going to be good. And then we read on. Look at verse 18 of chapter 10, beloved. Incompetence. You go from indulgence, foolish leaders, you go to incompetence. Look at verse 18. Because of laziness, the building decays through idleness. Idleness of hands, the house leaks. Now, what's he talking about there? In the Bible, you take it in context. It's important. He's not talking about a literal house or roof leaking. He's talking about leaders. He's talking about government. He's talking about a house decaying and falling apart and a roof leaking. He's talking about a government, leaders in government in the context here. Proverbs 18:9, who's slothful in his work is a brother to him who's what? A great destroyer. A great destroyer. Laziness leads to a sagging roof, and idleness, what, to a leaky roof. Foolish leaders are so busy with their own enjoyment. They don't have time for the work of governing the business there, and the organization begins to what? It begins to fall apart. It's a sad state of affairs. And you even see from this section here, as you read on down to the end of chapter 10 there, they begin to say what? Money's the answer to everything. You just feast, you party on. It's about laughter, it's indulgence, it's idleness, it's laziness, feasting, drinking, party on. And then you just say what? Money is the answer to everything. Well, whether it's Solomon's day or our day today, it's not. It comes back to God. Life, liberty, and Levin, as he was saying the other night, it's about God. We see God first in our life, in the faith, in the spiritual, in our family. And then we certainly see what? The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. These things that are very important to us and our foundation. But it's just about partying and feasting and self-indulgence and what we see this incompetence. Not going to turn out very good. I quote from Richard DeHaan. He's with the Lord now for many years of the Daily Bread. And he says this in his commentary, "History has repeated the confirmed truth that power in the hands of godless people works toward deterioration of character. Idolism fades, affairs of governments are neglected, temperance is forgotten. It's not long before such leaders lose their position of authority. Why? Because God has established a moral law, and God will not allow anyone to break his commandments with impunity." You're not going to get away with it. There's not a pass. There's coming consequences and judgments upon that leader and nation. These laws are written in the very fabric of the universe and the fiber of men, which will not be what? Denied. End of quote, Richard DeHaan. So it tells us so clearly there. Because of Laden, the buildings decaying, the buildings falling apart. And through idleness, we see what? The house leaks. Let me give you a quote here. From Rand Paul, Senator of Kentucky. Now he said something else. He checked the factor. He said something that he probably shouldn't have went out on the limb. Saying about you get COVID, you have immunity, you won't get it again. But I've known of people who got it again, got over it twice and everything like that. Some had symptoms, some asymptomatic. But anyhow, in this quote, I believe he's right on here. Rand Paul questioned last Tuesday's election results, comparing more than 1 million stimulus checks that were sent to dead people this summer. Your government sent 1.1 million dead people stimulus checks. Wonder how many of these folks also got absentee, we see, ballots. The Treasury Inspector General for the Tax Administration reported this summer that 1.1 million coronavirus checks were sent to people who had already died. The checks totaled nearly $1.4 billion with a B dollars. After a report, the watchdog recommended that Congress provide Treasury with access to Social Security Administration's full set of death records and require the Treasury consistently use it to help reduce similar types of improper payments. 1.1 million, we see, got stimulus checks that were already dead, that were mailed out. I don't know, you want to trust the government with your health care? How about it? And everything like that. I like what another congressman said. 75% of what we get in our regular mail is what we call as lay people junk mail. 75% of what you think about it. Think about what you get coming in. 75% of what we get in the mail in junk mail. Some people thought this would be a good venue and a good idea to have people mail in their ballots for a presidential election and what have you. I checked with our mailman today that we're here, Brian Clark and Garland Kirk. And they said, we don't use the term junk mail. We call it less desirable mail. I said, we're a lay person. We're like crash. We like call it junk mail because you know where most of it ends up. It helps me to burn the rest of my garbage, huh? But anyhow, kind of crazy stuff. So what are we talking about in the sermon today? Foolish talkers, foolish leaders, talking about incompetence. Someone said recently, what? You can be watching American Idol, and they go to commercial, and they can tabulate like millions of votes and tell you who won American Idol. But we take like a month or more. We can't count the cotton picking election vote and figure it out. It's crazy, isn't it? You watch American Idol? They come back and say, hey, come back over commercial. We'll tell you who won. They can tabulate. You see all those votes we see from their phone. Crazy stuff, isn't it? Indifference, it doesn't stop in incompetence. Look at verse 19. A feast is made for laughter and wine for merry. Just party on. But money answers everything, doesn't it? Does it save a soul? No. Does it cure cancer? It can't cure cancer. What? Is it going to save a marriage? Is it going to save our nation? No. But we see what? Officials make a feast and enjoyment. Whatever's broken, they are merry, and money is the answer to everything. Amp version I gave, the amplified version, is certainly what I gave you there. And then indiscretion. Look at verse 20. Do not curse the king even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may what? Tell the matter. What did I say at the beginning of the sermon? This book's written almost what? 3,000 years ago? And you'll be talking to someone. And he says, hey, wait a minute. Hey, where'd you hear that? What are you saying? Where'd you hear that? And what will they say? A little bird told me. He still says that today in 20. A little bird told me. Look what he's saying in verse 20. Now, can you imagine right now? Big tech knows everything about you. Government knows everything about you. You think you're giving secrets, huh? Look at cameras everywhere. You don't know where they're at and checking you. Someone watching me through my Roku TV? Kind of nice to get 250 channels and all the stuff you can do, all the other fancies I'm gonna do. Hello, someone in there watching me? Hello, what am I doing here? Wow. So if that's an issue back then, look, 3,000 years ago, he's saying, because what? You're with your family. He's talking about you're in your house or on your land, your bedroom. He's saying, be careful. Because maybe one of your children will tell a neighbor child and get back to someone else, and neighbor report you to the king. You're gonna be in big trouble. You think what you're saying private? Look at it there. Nor curse the rich in your bed. Bird of the air may carry your voice. The bird in flight may tell the matter. Do not curse the king and may come back at you. Think about Big Brother and government surveillance and cameras, computers today and all that. Wow, you even get that caution there. Not involved in what? Indiscretion. Do you know the Bible says in Exodus 22:28, you must not dishonor God nor curse any of your rulers? Wow. So pray for them. We can tell the truth, but be careful what we say. Guard your tongues. Allow them not to be untamed, unkind, unwise, unreasonable, or unfaithful. What's it say again? Remind you in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart what? Grace to the hearers. Two more things I'm going to do, and then we'll close in prayer and call Ron up to lead us in the closing hymn. Romans 10. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, with the mouth is made into salvation. For there is no distinction between the Jew and we see the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, rich to all who call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10. So if anyone's here today, like some of those last week, have yet to make that commitment in Christ, to trust in Christ, that's where it's at. That's where it begins at the cross. And acknowledge you're a sinner in trusting, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I'm going to conclude with something different today before I pray. And as I said, call Ron up. A buddy of mine from college, his name's Brett Morton, and we were roommates for a while, and he's from New Jersey. So if you're from New Jersey, where it's very, very crowded, what do you do after college? You move to Casper, Wyoming, where there's more animals and trees, much more than people. And he became a forest ranger. But he emailed something to me, attachments from his 15-year-old granddaughter. Don't forget, it's a 15-year-old young lady, his granddaughter, that she wrote this paper. And for school project, his speech in his paper she did for public school, and even says in her Mrs. Stewart Composition 2, Section A. And I'm going to read it to you today. Just two pages. Continue to keep in mind, just a 15-year-old girl out in the school system in Wyoming and wrote this. And by the way, if you want a copy, I laid a few copies in the welcome desk and the white table out there if you want to pick one up afterward. Home of the Brave, she entitled it. So timely. It's what we preach on today, foolish talkers, foolish leaders, and last week's patriotic service and what's going on in our nation today. She says, close your eyes and imagine this. Fields of prairie stretching till the smiling skies meet the horizon. Snow-capped peaks towering over the hills and valleys. waves cresting in white foam, deserts dusted with red and orange, soaking up the sun's heat, forests quiet, busy, strong, water from 1,000 different sources, raging rivers, sleeping in lakes, one sun, one moon, 1 trillion stars, all journeying over the same earth. This is a land where all people are invited. Welcome to express their beliefs and live accordingly. People who dwell here are dreamers who dare to soar, explore, set new limits, and break old barriers. We are a nation so devoted to freedom and hope that they are willing to put aside differences to unite and walk hand in hand. Sound like a familiar place? It should, because this is a country most of us call home. If you're anything like me, you might be contemplating something along the lines of, yep, good old America, land of political unrest, civil disobedience, stubborn conservatives and whiny liberals. Why should I even care? Well, here's why, buddy. Whether we like it or not, we are the next in line to take turn on this roller coaster dubbed the American adulthood. It's a relatively short ride for 60-some years or more, so we make the most of it while we have the chance. If thus far the above lack seems logic, let me put it this way. The United States of America boasts founders who sacrificed sweat and blood for the liberty of our land. Over the ages, victories have been bought with the precious lives of young Americans, a price far higher than our comprehension. Where do we now stand? We're on the verge of losing all grit, guts, and glory in this nation, what we ever possessed. And on what grounds? Remember, 15-year-old, a few ding-dongs. A few ding-dongs who don't take the time to learn the difference between a red, white, and blue from the black and white. They're dragging us off the political cliff with them. I'm not in any way trying to play the blame game here. I do want to emphasize that the United States of America is sliding downhill at an alarming speed. Despite all these rather discouraging points, there's still hope. That hope is in you and in me. And we would add in the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word, huh? So to finish off my rambling, I present you, the reader, with a challenge, a call to duty, advocate for justice, unity, and freedom, with the dedication of our generation to those who come after us. We may raise the banner once again and rebuild the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I love what she put it in the parentheses. So what do you think? Should I run for office now? A 15-year-old. Take it, read it, ponder it. Gives you something to think about. A young person went writing to her generation, her school, giving a speech, what? We're to pick up the baton. What are we going to do? We're the generation now. Well, let's pray together, and then Ron will come up and lead us in a hymn, Living for Jesus. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the times when it's exciting, challenging, same time at times we see frustrating, discouraging, maybe to some fearful, may it not be. As we sung today, as we always preach, you are in the throne. Nothing changed. You're the same God. The Word doesn't change. It's your plan for the ages. And we pray, Lord, certainly we'll be living and listening for the trumpet sound. You may come back again any time to take us home to be with you. But Lord, in the meantime, a serious mission before us. Maybe take to heart, speak to us, or bring that conviction when our speech or words are not that which is pleasing unto you. But yet, Lord, help us to be study. Help us to be students of the Word. Help us to be like the sons of Issachar and understand the times that we're living in too, Lord. Maybe we understand that. Maybe we have that knowledge, that wisdom. Be able to relate. We see in our world, our nation, our culture, to people of all generations. As we give forth the truth of the gospel, what they desperately need, the plan of salvation. But nevertheless, may we not back off. May we not shirk our duties. Lord, may we not sit back and be disobedient and apathetic. May we be out there in the front lines. That's why you have us here in a purpose for us. On the front lines, living for Christ. Being that testimony example we should be. And yes, in love, speaking boldly, Lord. We pray that you use us. This nation, this world needs believers to be out there in that way, to get the light forth, the truth. There's so much falsehood, so many lies, so much negative, so much corruption, so much wickedness and evil. Lord, may we go forth in godliness and holiness and shed the light and tell others, yes, there is hope. There is hope. There is salvation, deliverance in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And others that come to Him can have that assurance. Oh, Lord, use us, we pray.